everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And Kim, what's that book over there on your table? I've never seen that before. What is that?
This is a Bible.
I'm sorry?
What? Yeah. It's kind of well known. I don't know.
Good thing, come on. I'm sitting up front in church to see that particular tome that I've no idea what it is.
Kyle, I know that here at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray, we are not experts on the East Coast and in particular the tri-state area, but I fucking know where Newark is, okay? I know where Newark is.
Yeah, it's an hour from Queens with traffic, but this isn't the end of the world here. You know what I'm saying?
Look, the confusion between New York and Newark made me laugh so hard. It was my favorite part of the whole episode. I loved it. Like they're in flight to New York City.
My favorite part was when Ashley looks at Manuel and says, "Well, if he asks me if I'm going to be a witch, I'm just going to say, like, he's not going to ask you apropos of nothing if you're a fucking witch. Like, what are you talking about?"
Yeah, I don't meet random relatives of my husband that I've never talked to before and just like ask them if they're witches, typically.
But the thing is, Ashley then says, it's not like I'm going to say, "Hi, I'm Ashley, I'm a witch." And I'm thinking, actually, I completely believe that you would do that.
Yeah, that's exactly the way she would introduce herself.
Yeah.
What's she talking about? Oh, man.
She would immediately start talking about your aura and shit.
Dude, this was...
And throw water at you under a walnut tree.
A black walnut tree.
Oh, that's right. Yes, very important. Yes, sorry.
Kyle, do you feel bad for Rob? Just a little. Because this fucking kid, he's like a Ken doll, this Callum, talking about how great Portugal was when he was banging Sophie five times a day because they were like teenagers. And
I don't know. I think he looks like a malnourished Jonas brother.
Really? I was like,
he's a cute kid. Whatever. He's not like
straight out of the Barbie
movie. Rob talks about this dude walking in like he's some kind of fucking Adonis. He looks like he's 19. Whatever.
He looks so young. I agree. Yeah. So it's hard to like see him as like a potential romantic partner. But I understand, you know, Sophie, we have to remember, is like 22 or 23. She's super young. Right. So I don't know. It seems like that's the kind of guy that would be attractive to her at her age.
I feel like this whole situation is, yes, Rob is still being a baby, but if you know your husband at all, it's essentially trolling him intentionally to not tell him that you dated, even if it was for a couple days before you decided to be friends.
Dude, I actually am, I hate it when they do this. Like, I'm team Rob here. She should have told him. She's like, "Well, I was like 18. I'm like, "Yeah, it was like 3 years ago."
Right. Yeah.
It's not like we dated somebody when we were 18. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah. You don't want to know what happened when I was 18. But listen, even if they didn't have sex, even if they just went on a couple dates and decided, you know, we'd be better as friends in Portugal, you got to know that Rob is going to feel some kind of way about it in a big way.
Yeah.
And like, come on, she's just intentionally doing this for TV drama. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see her little like uncomfortable smirk.
Right.
When Callum walks in and she's kind of uncomfortably like holding Rob's hand. I'm like, come on, you know exactly what's happening here. Kind of annoyed me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Speaking of Rob, doubled down on toilet paper gate. Did you see this on a social media?
No.
Dude, I mean, okay.
Look, we know the current relationship status, so I guess he doesn't have much to lose.
Spoiler.
Sorry.
So this is what he wrote. I think this was like, I don't know, maybe Wednesday last week or Thursday. Tuesday.
Sorry to interrupt, but before we move forward, I'd like to propose that there be a amnesty for spoiler talk on HEA, because come on.
I agree with you. Like, especially when we have John on next week, when we just saw John on Single Life, part 3 of 5 of the tell-all, and it's pretty clear. This is not a spoiler. This is me assuming something that seems very obvious. He's going to propose to Megan on the tell-all, right?
Yeah.
That's what it looks sure. like. So they're yeah. definitely together. And now he's on HEA, which was probably filmed before Single right. Life, and he's right. going to Brazil.
I don't even know if he's fucking dating her yet.
I don't either. I know. It's unclear. We said last week, we called this, hashtag Kyle's always right sometimes, and Kim sometimes too, that, you know, Thais and Patrick are boring without John. And we're like, well, what are they going to do without John? He's shacked up with Megan in San Antonio. Now we know this
going
is filmed
to Brazil.
2.5 years ago, and he's going to Brazil with them. And I'm here for it. I think it sounds hilarious.
No, that's the only thing they could have done. HEA mm-hmm. the other way. Bring along the only entertaining character in the storyline. Like, of course. Yeah.
And we love the other way storylines on HEA because it mixes things up. That's why we love Cameroon. Anyway, back to the task at hand. Rob, he wrote, sorry, this is a long post, but I feel like I have to read it in its entirety. This is like an Instagram story.
If he wrote it on toilet paper, it'd be wasteful.
It would. I want to read the hashtags first. Hashtag share the TP. Hashtag TP is for everyone. Hashtag shitty butt is no fun. Hashtag leave some for me.
Okay.
I did not make this up.
All but the last of those would imply that free, like, toilet paper usage is a positive thing that should be encouraged.
Yeah, you're right. Well, by Rob, just not for Sophie.
Oh, it's a fucking.
So Rob writes, this is the thing. Scrolling on her phone while sitting on the toilet is like Sophie's happy place. So she actually uses a roll of TP a day sitting in the bathroom 4 hours.
What are you talking about? Like, she's just idly ripping toilet paper off while she's sitting there, even if nothing is happening? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think he's like trying to say constipated.
If I sit on the toilet for 2 hours, which I would do, and I'm not just like continuously shitting the entire time and then wiping and shitting and wiping and shitting.
Look, he said, I don't count the toilet paper squares. I just got tired of searching for something to wipe my ass with when the TP was gone for days after buying more time and time again. You should try it sometime, then judge me for addressing it. She's just being petty how she makes me sound controlling for it. I feel like this is like breaking his contract, because you would never speak to your significant other that way. Like, ever. Can you imagine if you like said that about your wife on this podcast?
It's so crazy. He's just a fucking bachelor.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably doesn't even use that much more than he does. It's just double what he's used to.
I stand by. I don't think she's like wiping her butt with this toilet paper. I think it's makeup related. I think she's like wiping up. She wears a lot of makeup. I think she's like wiping up. I do this. Wipe up makeup on the counter of my sink with toilet paper because it's like easy to grab.
Right.
All right. Let's hop into this episode. You want to start big with Ashley Emmanuel, or you want to save him for last?
Let's start big.
Okay. We're going to go big. We're going to lead with the best.
Never been to a Catholic church. Shit. Even I've been to a Catholic church. I was at a Catholic church when I was in Paris. We went to a Gothic concert. It sounded way cooler than it actually was.
Oh yeah. It does sound cool.
I think that it makes sense that she has like an an aversion to this because she talks about how she helps people. I don't know what helps means in that context, but she deals with people that have religious trauma, mostly Catholic. So I get being a little bit prejudiced against this, but overall, I still found it strange that she can't see the parallels between Catholic mysticism from her perspective and what she does. Like, she thinks that Mass is strange, but sees nothing wrong with grinding up eggshells and pouring them on Manuel's head under a black walnut tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. The bread and blood of Christ being changed from really stiff, not delicious, gluten-free wafer to, you know, body of Christ. Like, it is.
They didn't even show the weird parts.
No, they didn't.
They showed, like, peace be with you and God loves you, like the basic stuff. Actually,
that's the nice part. Like, I was like, wow, they're filming Mass in this church. Like, how is that allowed?
Thank you. That was my first question. Like, how are they here? Do not let these demons inside. It's the first rule of dealing with Matt Sharp. Don't let them in your house. It's like a vampire. You can't let them in.
Then it occurred to me that the Catholic Church can take all the marketing it can get, like, for free.
That's fair.
So I was like, especially when that deacon came up to them and was like, "Well, dude, hello,
let's fly in our most charismatic deacon from fucking, like, Barcelona to talk to these two people."
It was really funny. I thought the deacon was really funny. He's like hella weird. He's like, "I am Miguel Santos. Hello. Let's talk about your card reading. Ooh, that's not necessarily anti-Christian, but his family's going to fucking hate you. So let's just talk about that."
Well, I guess you're not completely the spawn of Satan or the Antichrist or something, but I would keep that to my fucking self.
Ease them into that. Ease them in.
We used to throw people like you off a fucking cliff and celebrate all night.
They actually cued the clown music, as they were driving to Catholic Mass.
Let me ask you, do you float?
With my work as a witch. Yeah, she's telling him about her card reading, and he's just like, oh, God. I don't know what to do about this.
This was a great scene for so many reasons. First of all, again, just thinking about the meta. How do they have, like, two different camera crews set up in this church? Just the fact that she doesn't know what a Bible is. I feel like
that's not even Catholic. That's just like,
I know.
Have you ever been to a hotel and opened a drawer?
Outside? I feel like that's almost like aggressively ignorant, you know?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much at any farmer's market in the Midwest, which I know she's in Rochester, so I guess she's not in the Midwest, but there's usually somebody handing out Bibles for free, you know, just to try to, like, recruit.
Well, my question is, Ashley, what other book would it be?
The Book of Mormon.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, the anarchist cookbook? What do you think it's going to be?
What's the Scientology book?
Dianetics.
Dianetics, yeah.
Yeah.
I have two copies. It was just really fun. It's funny that Manuel thinks in his head that he's going to take her to Catholic Mass and she's going to lose her inner demons, as he says.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it's ultimately, I think it's still a smart idea of his to take her, if nothing else, just to maybe show her, like, the shit that I do isn't it's not that much different than the shit you do. So can you just be a little bit more understanding? But on the other hand, she is going to be told there's only one spiritual practice here that will tell the other one, like, maybe never talk about that because it's literally against our religion. And it's not the Ashley whatever spiritual gumbo, you know, one. I thought that the deacon was about as reasonable and understanding as you could expect of someone that literally until maybe 10 years ago would have looked at someone like Ashley and like fucking made the sign of the cross and started chucking holy water at her, you know?
I mean, when she said Akashic Records and he was like, okay, I was like, really? That seems like it would not be accepted in the church.
Yeah,
like astrology is like astrology's mainstream enough that it's like whatever.
Yeah,
she's like reading the horoscopes, like who cares? But Akashic Records, diagram, like what the fuck?
His response to me made the episode. I thought it was so funny. Yeah, I don't know much about that. You just think the gears are turning in this dude's head. So good. I just, you know, he's a deacon in Catholic Church.
Right.
He is not going to be routinely exposed to people that are like this in his life. And I guess I did appreciate that he didn't completely just like annihilate her or like scream in her face or something. But I guess my standards are just that low, Kim.
Well, I just figured, like, Akashic Records, doesn't
my
that mean looking
are, like on the ground for these kinds of guys?
I think that, like, when you say Akashic Records, to me, from what I like the very little I know about that, I think that's like accessing experiences from your past lives. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, there's no way he must just not know what that is, because there's no way that a Catholic priest or deacon is going to be cool with the idea of reincarnation.
No.
For the lay person, right?
Yeah. And you know, what he explains is that, and I think it is interesting to see how much the window has shifted over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Because I think that everything she listed would have been, and it probably still is today in certain countries like Poland, you know, but to say, well, I guess it's not necessarily anti-Christian, like that is, dude is trying to make super sure that he doesn't continually reduce Catholic mass attendance by saying shit like that, because
read
that just
your
would not,
I don't
that
care.
Just would not fly. So this was a really interesting scene. And I think he kind of gets down to like, well, as long as you're not basically claiming that you're above God or equal to God, you know, do whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a, for the Catholic Church, from my perspective as a heathen outsider, feels fairly progressive.
I agree. Yeah. He even said,
comparatively, like, man, not saying, yeah. Not saying, Catholic,
you're not converting.
Not saying
you're not
the
converting.
Whole,
okay.
Well, no, I'm not even saying that the whole situation is positive, even. But
I just, Manuel asked this guy, "What am I supposed to do? My wife's a witch, and my family's Catholic, and now she's to
it.
Meet them." He basically says, like, not too much too soon, ease them into the idea, which, to be fair, would also probably be my recommendation. Like,
I know,
little by
yeah.
Little by little. I know I keep referencing it, but Corey's, like, harmless card tricks went horribly awry at a child's birthday party in Ecuador. We know, like, just ease into it, okay? Ease into it.
I think he's right. You know, when he says, listen, they're gonna judge the shit out of you. I mean, you know, in the back of your head that he's judging the shit out of her too.
But
I did appreciate that he didn't really sugarcoat it. He was honest with her, and he wasn't like a total dick about it. Look at me making fucking apologies for Catholic deacons.
Oh, he was a nice guy. He also said
fucking HEA. Always doing this to us.
He does say in his ITM, though, when they're not within earshot, they will struggle to make their household hum.
Oh, they hum a lot. Don't worry about that, bro.
I was like, I don't think it's they're a humming. Humming. That's a problem.
Humming is not the issue.
Yeah. I'm sure that's, well, who knows what he meant. Then we get to Pack for New York City. And Manuel tells her that she's too old to wear a pink sequin dress, which now that we know they're going to Newark, probably best that she didn't pack that, but you know.
And also that she'll look like a grandma in another dress. So he's really just, I mean, the guy can say whatever the fuck he wants to her. He's still going to get a blowjob in 20 minutes.
That's true. I know. He's just like, doesn't mince words with her. I would be so mad if my husband told me I was too old to wear something.
My son told my wife that when they were in Paris.
Oh my God. What was she wearing?
Well, no, she dipped into like a little clothing store while they were walking around town. And he literally told her, you're too old to wear that, mom.
Oh, brutal.
But brutal. She said, you know what? He was absolutely correct. And I didn't buy it.
Wow. Fascinating. I love it. The Newark, New York confusion.
Newark. What?
Newark. What?
Newark. 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 New York. Newark.
When Manuel said it, I was like, yeah, I can't distinguish. Okay,
I could see that. Yeah.
It was so funny. So funny. Like, do they have the address? Do they know where they're going? I'm kind of concerned.
I don't know. It's a 5 hour. They have 5 hours to figure it out. I Googled mapped this shit, Rochester to Newark. But yeah, it's in a different state, but it's not like super far. It's just traffic.
Yeah. Anything else about these two or?
No, we already talked about, I'm not going to say hi, I'm Ashley, I'm a witch. And if he asked me if I'm a witch, which no one would literally ever do ever, except maybe a deacon.
But what is she going to say if they're like, Ashley, what do you do for work?
I mean, here's a quick look. I don't know if we've ever actually addressed this. Like, does she have a job?
I don't know. I don't know. If we're going with the narrative, her job is witch.
I kind of am blanking out if she just has a day job.
She has to, right?
There's no, how could she fucking like support, like how could she sponsor his K-1 and fucking live in a apartment in New York?
Dude, you've seen the price sheet on her website. She charges like $777 for a Akashic record reading.
I guess, man. We're in the wrong business.
I know, clearly. This
podcast is a lot of effort. And I feel like I could utilize my white male confidence in so many more profitable ways than this shit. Can't you just see me logging onto a Zoom and just saying to someone with a completely straight face, just telling them all about their past lives and just completely making it up?
Dude, we should read Akashic Records for one lucky cray cray every week.
$4,444. Come on.
We'll do it for free just for funsies. And then we'll ask.
I'm reasonably good at improv. I mean, good enough to fool a dum-dum.
Let's try it next week.
All right.
If you would like your Akashic Records read by Kyle. Post in the Facebook group and I'll send you our PayPal. Stop.
I'm not doing it for free.
No, we have to practice first.
Do I look like a sucker to you, Kim? Doing it for free. This is America.
You're right. We will charge you $777, but still, please line up over here.
And we need to create a new Patreon tier that includes my supplement line. Yes.
Oh, so you can get your
berries.
What is it? Amino acids?
Whatever.
No.
Right. Your thetan. I don't even fucking remember anymore.
I can't even remember what this is from. Seeking Sister Wife, by the way, if you're very confused right now.
Put your hand on this blue light and tell you your your mitochondria level or whatever the fuck.
I do have it etched in my brain from Ashley Emanuel on season 10 of Regular 90 Day that she's just screaming, "Mi trabajo es witch!
Bruja!
That's what it was. Mi trabajo es bruja!" So, I mean, I don't know. All right.
Just say on. Just say you're a fucking life coach.
Yeah. I mean, that is, I think that's really what she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just as much of bullshit as life coaching is, typically.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle, have you ever walked into the wine store and you're just like, I have no freaking idea what wine to buy in the store?
I mean, look, I just get the same bottle over and over so that my wife doesn't get pissed off for picking out crappy wine.
I mean, look, I barely even drink, but we both know we pretty much have to drink while watching 90 Day, especially Single Life, and like definitely Seeking Sister Wife. It's a lot better if you're drinking wine, like a little tipsy.
Just pretend that was wine. I'm definitely not watching this sober. Okay, come on.
Well, it's a good thing this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines.
Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the best independent winemakers so that you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd pay in stores. That's because when you buy wine today, most of your money goes to things like fancy packaging and big budget marketing campaigns and tax.
I love paying tax. So fun.
Yeah.
It is actually really interesting, like the business model. Naked Wines connects directly with winemakers and wine drinkers directly. So it's connecting these two parties directly. So the vineyard can offer direct to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you'd pay in the store. So by cutting out the traditional retail middleman and all the cost and markups associated with that, winemakers can pass those savings on to you, the wine drinker, directly without skipping on quality. And because of the way Naked Wines does this business, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top quality award-winning wines at a huge savings.
I got a box of wines from Naked Wines, and I got the most incredible wines that I would never have picked out at the store. Not because they're not amazing, but I just wouldn't have known to pick them.
Yeah, same. I just drank a bottle of Rudy von Strasser Cabernet Sauvignon with my husband last night. We were watching Top Chef. I mean, you have to be fancy when you're watching Top Chef, so you need a good bottle of wine.
Okay, like, Meghan Markle.
I would have like never picked this wine, but it was so good. We love full body, like big reds, and it was just fantastic.
Naked Wines has a quiz that matches you with bottles that you'll love, and each shipment includes wines that they recommend based on your previous ratings. I feel like I have to make so many decisions every day just to get through life and be an adult. So having someone else pick out wines that I'll love is just a real luxury for me.
I agree. It's like having a personal shopper, but for your wine. So, and also like Naked Wines, it's not some fly-by-night operation. They've been around for over a decade, and they fund 90 Day Fiancé, independent winemakers. Each bottle is a passion project from an independent winemaker. So you're literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true, which is really cool.
Well, whether you're bougie like him or not, go to nakedwines.com/craycray and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in craycray for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/craycray and use the code and password craycray to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, nakedwines.com/craycray, code and password cray cray for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's go on to Mahmood and Nicole. Not a ton here. Hashtag this, Kyle's always right sometimes, though.
Yeah, in so many ways. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome. Akashic record reading and the fact that Mahmood was just surprised to see another Muslim woman in California, and thus he looked at her.
Yeah. That's what we were speculating last episode. Like, this wasn't as big a deal as she was making out to be. But, of course, he could just be completely full of shit.
Totally.
I completely forgot that he was, like, DMing with chicks last season they were on tow.
I totally forgot that as well.
Yeah.
But
so, I don't know. He could just be a piece of shit pervert, but it really wouldn't surprise me if he just was taken aback, like, oh shit, okay, I'm in another country and people of different faiths are coexist here, crazy.
Yeah, I do think he was just looking at Lavender Hijab Girl, because remember when he was chatting up other girls online, they were all foreign girls. I think Mahmood has like a fetish for foreign girls.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's there's like, not to be like Mr. Obvious over here, but you know.
There's no actual affection here on his part. If there is, no. He just really doesn't understand how to express it. But you know, the other thing that we were saying from the beginning, once they were announced, is that this is just going to be the same fucking argument over and over again. And just like last season, it's just back to the close. That's it. Round and around, over and over. And at this point, you know, not knowing, if you take away, you know, the allegations that are going on, which again, like, charges were dropped, we don't really know any of the details about what happened. And you just kind of focus on what we're seeing on the show. I'm like, at this point, fucking just... I just hate Nicole.
I know, I don't like either of them.
No, of course not. I'm not like Team Mahmood, but...
No, of course, yeah.
Get a fucking divorce. It just feels like the only reason that you're just circling the drain with him is, first of all, to take vengeance on what happened in Egypt, but two, you're just... It's like you're just on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels so stupid. No one can be this fucking... idiotic that you think he's going to change. No one.
That's what's so infuriating, is that Nicole just like decided in her own head that she wasn't going to follow the rules, but like never told Mahmood that she wasn't going to follow his rules. And now she's like surprised that he's angry. It's like, I don't agree with the dude's rules either. I think they're dumb, but like, I also didn't marry him knowing those rules, and then moved to Egypt 3 fucking times where I had problems with the rules. And then she brings him to her country and she's like, he can't control me. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you still got to follow his rules.
It's just super obvious that he wasn't going to budge, whether it's a religious thing or a personal thing or a little bit of both. It's not really relevant.
It isn't.
It's what he wants out of a relationship. And he's been super clear and consistent, at least, about it. I wonder if she, I mean, I don't know. On the other hand, it's kind of the same thing with Nicole. Like, she's bent a lot. She certainly did in Egypt to try. I think she made a reasonable faith effort to try in Egypt to a certain extent. And she decided when she got back, like, I'm in America. I don't think it's unreasonable to say I'm in America, I'm an American, this is how I grew up, and I shouldn't need to change. But to expect him to be cool with it is just so fucking stupid and exhausting and repetitive. That's the worst part, like, as a viewer.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same argument in a different country And like, I don't need to see LA on 90 Day Fiancé. In fact, I would prefer not to see California on this show.
Yeah.
Like, do we have to? Like, why? Like, show me somewhere interesting.
You know, bringing her friends back to just like fucking psychologically torture him. I mean, that's going to be kind of amusing, but yeah. Also it's not like he's going to light up. He's not going to put on a show for these people. He's just going to do a Rob and walk away, and it's going to be awkward and weird and really not that funny.
I couldn't agree more. One of the things Mahmood did this episode to annoy Nicole was jaywalking. And she's like, he can't just walk in the middle of the street. It's like, girl, that's the least of your worries right now. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I feel like if you jaywalk in LA, you're really taking your life into your hands, dude.
That's true.
Especially on that street in fucking Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Hell no. Busy.
But
and everyone's trying to like wave their dick at each other in their fancy car. And mm-hmm. No, don't do that. You're going to get nailed by Caitlyn Jenner. It's going to be bad.
Nicole's like, I can't imagine that this could fall apart in just one day. I'm like, didn't it fall apart in just one day, like three times prior when you moved to Egypt? Like, I'm pretty Every sure you were having a meltdown 10 hours in. So I don't know why this is surprising.
Every other time. Also, based on everything that she's seen, I don't imagine, and really not seen, it's baffling that she thinks bringing him to hang out with her friends in LA, almost assuredly at a bar where they're going to be drinking, is going to go well. How could she think this is intelligent at all? It's insane that her friends are going to be dressed the way that they want to dress, and they're going to be drinking, and they're not going to be eating. They're going to be eating haram and speaking haram, and it's just going to be a fucking shit show.
Do we know if Mahmood drinks or allows Nicole to drink? Because in Egypt, it wasn't like a thing, right?
No. She's going to be horrified.
She tries on this dress and he confirms he wants her to cover up because
it's got
back is showing.
Six square inches of skin are being shown.
I know. It's even long sleeved and stuff. But she knows when she puts that dress on, she knows he's not going to like it.
Yeah.
She knows it. Just like, do you remember Ziad and Rebecca? And she wore like the short sleeve shirt and her tattoos were out. And he said, like, that's not cool. Like, don't do that here. And she did it anyway. So annoying. Like, I felt the same about this. Like, I'm not saying he's right, but like, you know how he feels about it. So it does feel like she's trolling him.
And I'm all for trolling him, but this just doesn't feel... It's just not entertaining already.
Yeah, it isn't.
You know?
Yeah, Mahmood threatens divorce like Jasmine threatens to go to Panama. It's like when you do it too often, it doesn't mean anything. I loved the ending argument, though. This is my home. Okay, next time, just be naked. Do what you want. I'm done. It's like, okay. End scene. Thank you.
I believe that she would go naked if she could.
Probably. I don't know. She likes fashion a lot. All right, let's talk Rob and Sophie. We've kind of already touched on a lot of this. So we have Kendall show up from England.
I'm Rob, I am just as, if not more, concerned about these smoking hot women that she's hanging out with, considering she just told you she's bi.
I didn't think about that. Good point. She does have some very attractive friends. And, you know, it is unfortunate that Rob is so insecure because he is, like, extremely attractive. So I feel like he's just as hot as this. Again, it's hard for me to look at Callum as, like, he's so young looking. But I think objectively, like, they're on equal footing as far as attractiveness, right? We're going to have to ask somebody else.
At minimum, yeah. And I just, I love when he walks in and Rob's like, within 1 second of him walking in, Rob's like, I think he has a smug face. He's like, he's just British.
Yeah. I was like, he didn't say anything yet, dude. Like, he just got off a plane.
Well, he's not smug. He's just English, bro.
Yeah.
You just got to cut him some slack.
What was so fun about Portugal again? Rob, what was so fun?
All of the finger banging. Oh, wait. I wasn't supposed to say that. Shit. Oi.
Do you think this is really her childhood friend? Or do you think Callum is just like a friend for hire? Like British, you know, British friend for hire in LA. Just seems like central casting. I don't know.
Well, they're in Texas now.
But, oh yeah, I keep forgetting.
Yeah, right. you can find an Englishman in Texas if you try hard enough.
I mean, they're in Austin. There's lots of cool things there.
Yeah. I'm just gonna go with it. You know, I didn't get any fraud and vibes necessarily. Okay. But childhood friend. Like when I think childhood friend, I think like you met in elementary school, not you made out once in Portugal when you were 17. That's a childhood friend. Like that's a little toe in the line. And then also, I mean, I don't know what dating means to Sophie when you're 17 on a trip. It just sounds like, you know, this has happened to you since you were cool when you were younger. No offense, but like you meet someone, you hang out for a couple days and you move on. Like, is that dated? Like, so I can see kind of both sides of it where in Sophie's head, she's like, he's not an ex. We hung out for like 2 days. We made out once and decided we would just be friends. But that is also, if you know your fucking husband, you should know that you maybe need to be a little more clear and prepare him emotionally because he's a man baby.
I think it's really optimistic that you think that they just made out.
She says they didn't fuck.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she said we didn't have sex. And yeah.
If they really did just make out, like how many people did you make out with when you were like 17, 18? I mean,
zero.
Oh, I was like, I can't even remember. Like, I would remember enough to tell somebody.
Kim, I didn't have a woman touch me until I was 19, okay?
But then you were making out with everybody at the club, right?
Well, yeah, actually, it got a little dark there once I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah,
it's a little hazy from 19 to 28 years old, frankly.
I just like when her super hot female friends ask her, oh, does he have a crush on you? And she's like, I don't know. He might. I don't know if he does.
That means yes.
He clearly does. Yeah. How can he not? It's like, ugh. I was surprised when Rob showed up, Kay gave him a hug.
Yeah, and, she's just being cordial. She fucking hates him. She
but
hates
he was nice to her ish. Yeah.
He didn't do anything outrageously weird to the friends, but he also just comes off as so he does not come off well at all. He's not warm. He's not engaging. He comes off just like with her mom, which was kind of fair. He comes off just giving off this vibe that I really fucking don't want to be here. And who wants to be around someone like that all the time?
Nobody, but I wouldn't want to be there either. I don't know. All her friends hate him. And then this like Kendall shows up and he finds out they made out. And he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He's really insecure.
I gotta shit. But... Like, all right, let me ask you this. Can you even form a picture in your mind of what type of friend of Sophie's Rob would be happy about?
Yeah, you know? That's a good question. That's fair. I can't.
I really think he doesn't want her to have friends, because any reasonable person is going to tell her that he sucks, and we can't have that.
It's true. It's true. You make a good point. I don't know. I think maybe if it wasn't Kay, because she's living with Kay, so he sees Kay as breaking up his marriage. Callum is a hot guy, so like he doesn't want her to be friends with him. But what about the other two women? Like, if they were just like
friends. We just don't know anything about them, though, except they're hot.
They might be okay. Yeah. Because Rob has friends. You know, we saw his two friends. I mean, not anymore, because they're back in L.A., but he had friends.
He knows one guy at the gym.
Yeah.
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 What was fun about Portugal?
The fucking. I mean, making out. Yeah, that's all they did.
Why do you need a wingman when you're a 17-year-old super hot chick in
Europe?
You don't.
I think she just means they went out together.
Yeah. I guess they went out together
and they're both hot, so they're gonna attract a lot of people. All over
if wing if wingman means like you're watching each other's back for creepers, like I get that for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's more so for her benefit, right? Right. But I don't know. I'm curious to see how this shakes out. It was kind of a funny storyline with Johan and Danielle when they started talking about dick size and like whose dick was bigger.
But see, Rob is not going to be as funny as Johan was in that scene. Johan just decided, you know what? I don't fucking care anymore. So I'm just going to be a troll. I'm just going to be a total asshole. Rob is just not, I just don't think he's that clever, and he's almost never been funny.
Mm-hmm. You're right. He isn't funny. He definitely isn't.
Johan, more clever than Rob. Wow.
Oh God. That's
fucking brutal.
Wonder what Johan's doing right now. You know?
Balls deep in six women.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Good call. He's definitely not working, I'll tell you that much. No. He's got a lot of different women sending him money for sure.
What are you talking about? Danielle taught him Excel. He's doing fine.
He has that butcher shop.
Yeah.
Speaking of humming, let's talk about Jasmine and Gino.
You know, we've been talking this whole season about, you know, Jasmine's insane behavior is so performative. Like, how can you tell, you know, what's real with her and what's not? And I am still coming down on the side of like, this is the most real we've ever seen Jasmine. Like, I believe this. Mm-hmm. And a lot, and I think some of it is her hair is literally falling out.
Oh my God. It's so sad, actually.
Yeah. Like, you can see
and that is, I looked it up, and that she is absolutely correct. Like, the alopecia that she has, like, it's brought on by stress. It's made worse by stress.
Right.
So this is a big bummer. The fact that she said that Gino is just ignoring her, I don't understand Gino repeating over and over. Like, he says the same thing to Dana when he says they're her kids. She's responsible for them. Like, she didn't fill out the fucking paperwork. Like, you have to apply for the K-1, and you made a big deal about how hard you worked on it and that you knew how to do it and you were very fastidious. Can you imagine if Jasmine had been like, Gino, I want to check the K-1 paperwork and just make sure it was filled out.
He would have laughed at her.
Yeah, he wouldn't have let her look it over. So no. I just think it's laughable when he says, and the way that he says, well, they're her kids. She's responsible for them. It's just, I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's gross. The silent treatment is also confusing because it's not like she went ballistic, and we've seen her be super mean to him.
Yeah.
And I don't think that she really was. She said, you're not fit to be a father. I guess he took that pretty personally. And I get that. But like, of all the times to give the silent treatment, this just seems pretty transparent that he knows how badly he fucked up, and he just like doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. It's the whole way that he's treating her is really messed up.
Yeah.
Like giving her the silent treatment because he fucked up on the application and she's sad about her kids. I mean, Dana, who has made really interesting comments about Jasmine in the past, maybe fabricated, we don't know. He even says, like, the difference between 11 years old and 13 years old is, like, the difference between your kid wanting to lay with you and cuddle with you and your kid wanting nothing to do with you. He said, I could never go 2 years without seeing my kids. So, yeah. I feel like he just wants his hot wife. He doesn't want to have to deal with these kids. It seriously wouldn't surprise me if he literally did this on purpose.
I know. Yeah. Dana didn't budge either, which I appreciated. Nope. After they go on the ride in his fucking dad car.
His muscle car.
Did that get your blood pumping? You don't need that blue pill.
Ew. Never do that again. Hey, you know what? It's some good, clean fun. Let them have their muscle car driving around.
Sure. Super, super cool dudes in their
car.
Now
let's give it a car wash so we can have a chat. Two dads. Or one dad and one Gino.
Let me put off my cut-off jean shorts before I wash this car. It's hard to imagine that Gino doesn't have $5,000.
He is full of shit.
If he doesn't have
a fucking job, like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Like, he's a 50-year-old retired man. If you don't have $5,000 in disposable income, like, at all, like, you've really fucked up.
You should be
like an
working.
Emergency fund or something, you know, like anything. Yeah.
He says he doesn't say he doesn't have it. He said he doesn't want to spend it. And right. Dana says, I mean, I was surprised. Dana and his wife, Michelle, are both totally team Jasmine. He's like, hey, you know what? There's certain things you want to spend money on.
Right.
This is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gino says, too, he thinks Jasmine's bluffing. And Dana backs her up again. He's like, I don't know. Michelle talked to her and she's like really serious about going back to Panama.
I understand a little bit what he's saying because, you know, she's cried wolf so many times.
She has.
A chapstick in the car. I'm going back to Panama. But this is the first thing that's been like really serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's go look at our wedding album.
Why? I thought this was a therapist in the preview.
Thanks for the wedding. Thanks for the wedding pictures. We appreciate it. I'm going to go chase after my wife now.
I call bullshit on this. They're like presented with a photo album that is pitched as an heirloom album. This is a photo album from like 1996 that you'd buy at Walmart with the clingy, like cling plastic covers. And printed out photos, like place it. Nobody makes photo albums like this anymore. Nobody.
No, not at all. Yeah.
This is an heirloom album. No, it's not. What are you talking about? Like, you go to the whatever website you want to go to and you print the album on like premium paper with a leather cover and it comes perfectly in the mail. That's what you do.
And full screen, you get like full page photos.
Yes.
Because you can, because of modern technology, like a book, like a table book would last longer than this thing.
I don't know even where you buy this type of photo album anymore.
Home Goods.
Do they still have them with the clingy, like with the cling? Like
they have to.
Plastic
yeah,
cover thing. Oh my God. I just like, I have not seen one of these in so long.
I've
it's crazy.
Been up to my dick in these since I got
I was about to say, like, the only time I've seen these is like, you know, deep in my, you know, parents' basement.
Yep.
The old family photo albums. But Jasmine is definitely like, you can say, she she's not crying wolf on losing her hair. We can see it because she's so stressed. And I felt bad for her too when she was looking at the photo album and she said, oh, I'm self-conscious about my hair.
Yeah.
So stressed out about her kids. Fucking sad.
Yep. If she does go back to Pinnima, you know, it's hard to argue that this whole venture was a colossal failure. It's just a huge waste of time, effort. You know, you made promises to your kids. Like, I get why she's upset about it.
Gina yeah, just I don't sucks. Think she goes. I don't think she goes back to Panama. But I, you know, we've heard rumors swirling that they're not together anymore. This is a spoiler, but like they're on Last Resort, the next season coming up. It's being filmed. It's either filming still now or wrapped recently. So that'll probably come out in 2 years. So we'll I guess, find out then.
All right.
Kyle, what do you think about the next time on? I'm excited to see John in Brazil, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a better plot line than I was expecting.
Yeah, for sure. And then we see Ashley and Manuel and Nurk. And there's some drama about the mother of his kids that she learns about. I'm sure this will cause panic while driving home. Panic in a car, a moving car.
Right. She'll hyperventilate in a vehicle. I feel like it would be strange if he didn't talk to the mother of his kids. If they still see her at all.
Yeah, I mean, he should talk to her. Probably. The kids are with her, I assume. He is not there. Just.
Yeah.
Nicole is at dinner by herself because Mahmoud refused to go out. We already know what the scene is going to be. Yeah, she's going to talk shit about him to all her friends. Sophie does this too. Like, how do you expect your friends to accept your husband if you're just talking shit about them to your friends behind his back constantly?
It's the same reason why we're completely just like stupefied by people doing the same type of shit on social media.
That's true, yeah. And I'm most excited for Rob getting pissed. Not Rob getting pissed, but Callum thinking that he can like intervene in the fight and
not smart.
Fix it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's a point in the favor of production plant because no normal human being would ever do that.
I know, totally.
This dude is presumably single. He knows that Sophie is in a relationship, whether he likes it or not. They leave. He's still hanging out with three gorgeous women by the pool. Why would he fucking go and like try to butt into this conversation? It's so stupid.
So dumb. He needs to set his sights elsewhere. Callum, you're missing an opportunity, a big opportunity.
Fuck, Sophie teed you up, bro.
Yeah. Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear extended podcast commentary on the 90 Day franchise, 90 Day gossip, and coverage for other 90 Day shows and other viral reality TV? Or maybe you just hate ads. If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally other viral reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed, either via Patreon with our 30-second sign-up on Supercast or directly through Apple Podcasts. It's only $5 a month if you sign up via Patreon or Supercast. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about an hour and a half or 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Tuesday night, which we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, other 90 Day shows that are airing that we don't get to on the main episode, and other TV. We're currently covering The Single Life. You know, there's 5 parts to this tell-all. And soon, Love in Paradise will be starting. And we're also currently covering Seeking Sister Wife, which is super fun. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. What'd you think about the episode overall?
I loved this Ashley scene in Catholic Church.
I loved it too. I loved Newark.
I hate the Nicole Mahmood bullshit, but overall enjoyable episode. I laughed.
I laughed a lot. And I felt emotions with the Jasmine Geno stuff. Oh, I know.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't expect that on this show. So kind of shook every time it happens. Kyle, let's talk about what we're talking about on B-sides this week.
Ooh, what are we talking about? Jesus.
We're talking about Single Life Part 4 of 5.
4 of 5. No, it's amusing. It's so fucking absurd.
Yeah, it is.
Single Life tell-alls are just bizarre world.
Yeah, and we're going to have to find something else to talk about on B-sides. We're talking Seeking Sister Wife immediately following this podcast. If you are a Patreon subscriber or premium subscriber, just stay tuned. After we wrap this up in a couple minutes, we'll immediately start talking Sister Wife. And what are we talking about D-sides this month?
Something absolutely horrific.
That's the D-sides something way.
That will absolutely just ruin all memories of your childhood.
Quiet on Set, the 5-part documentary on HBO Max about Nickelodeon, children actors, lots of different horrific stuff that happened in the 90s. Sponsors, head over to nakedwines.com/craycray and click enter voucher in the top right. Put in cray cray for both the code and password. Get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/cray cray.
I love a wine sponsor. And head to realitycraycray.com. Sign up in 2 seconds to continue listening for Seeking Sister Wife and all sorts of other shit going on.
Super fun. Can't wait for next week. We'll be back with HEA. We'll talk to you then.
Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5 either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.